Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this fourth Sunday in Epiphany. My name is Vaughn Borg, and I'm honored to be asked to fill in while Pastor Paul is recovering from his recent successful knee surgery. I'm pleased to announce that Eileen reports that Pastor Paul has been an ideal patient. He refuses to take pain medications. He doesn't complain. She says it's exactly the opposite of her. And he fully expects to be back in the office this coming week. I let Pastor Paul know that I'm always happy to assist, but that we'd all prefer that he doesn't get injured anytime again soon. The season of Epiphany is that time in the church year when all the focus is towards helping that light bulb go off over our heads, that aha moment when a new idea is revealed or an understanding comes to us, that of being called by God is recognized. And I couldn't have timed it better. We haven't seen sun in a week, and the sky lit up for us today to help emphasize the message for today. The season of Epiphany comes with both a promise and a warning. Christ has come into our world and is being revealed to us. And the light of these revelations will change us forever. Our announcements for this morning from your bulletin. First, you'll find that taking five scripture and prayer this week from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 and 29. And I encourage you to take time every day this week to ponder in meditation and prayer. Directly following our worship today is our annual meeting for all church members here in the sanctuary. Please stay for a few minutes after the service for the meeting, and I promise that there will still be cookies and coffee downstairs for our coffee hour directly following the meeting. Wednesday morning Bible study continues to meet at 9:30. We will be continuing the series on the one chapter books of the Bible. Our special thanks to Dee Dee for leading the study this past week. And we expect Pastor Paul will be back this coming Wednesday. And next Sunday is our annual potluck directly following the service. And it's my understanding that you can bring whatever you want, so we just might have 30 desserts. Please, bring what you care to share, and we'll enjoy time together in fellowship. Let us continue our service with the prayer of invocation. Let us pray. Compassionate God, you gather the whole universe into your radiant presence and continually reveal your Son as our Savior. Bring wholeness to all that is broken and speak truth to us in our confusion, that all creation will see and know your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
First reading is from Psalm 111, verses 1 through 10, page 490 in your pew Bible. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. The second reading is Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. It's page 812 in your Pew Bible, but I'll be reading it from the Revised Standard Version. The man with an unclean spirit. And they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this, a new teaching? With authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Tula tula nit. I still remember those words from my childhood. My mother was first generation American, with her mother coming directly from Finland. I never learned very much Finnish, but I understood the meaning of those words. Tule, tule nit meant that I was being called and I better get there immediately. Its actual translation is come, come now. But in my house, there was nothing more urgent than when my mother either yelled at me using my middle name, Von Frederick Borg, or when she started to use Finnish to get my attention because something was needed immediately. Welcome again to this fourth Sunday after Epiphany. As I shared earlier, Epiphany is a season of revealing, and none of the other gospel writers share the same immediacy as Mark. It's that time directly after Christmas when the church tells the story of who Jesus is, where he came from, how he got here, and ultimately what he has come here to do, culminating in the death and resurrection at Easter. When Karen and I were living and working in Germany, this was right at the peak, the culmination of what the Germans called Fasching, and what the Italians called Carnevale. Now, Fasching is an interesting word because in German it means the last drink, or the last strong drink before Ash Wednesday and we head into Lent. And it is just unbelievable that Ash Wednesday is just over 2 weeks away. Wow. Carnevale is also a fascinating word in Italian. Carne is where we get the word carnivore, or meat eater, to eat meat. And vale is the word to stop, or to give up. So for the Italians, particularly those in the Catholic faith, they would be giving up meat for Lent. In our tradition, we don't so much give up as give towards, not so much turn away from as turn to something. But to each their own tradition. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. I like to think of this season of Epiphany as the gospel's birth announcement. All four Gospels, in their own way, announce or reveal to the world the Emmanuel, or God with us. But only Mark draws us into the story with such urgency. Come, come now. Matthew tells how an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, how Mary shall bear a son conceived by the Holy Spirit, and they shall call him Jesus. for he will save the peoples from their sin. Matthew also announces he who was born the King of the Jews by the words of the wise men, or the Magi. In Luke's gospel, Luke tells of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and Joseph before the birth of Jesus to announce who would be arriving. Luke also tells how the angels came to the shepherds, proclaiming the glory of the Lord coming as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. John's gospel tells how the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Mark, in his gospel, skips the Christmas story and begins with his version of the birth announcement. When John the Baptist, with John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus, where the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and the voice from the heavens calling, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." So far, in the beginning chapters of the Gospels, we've heard from angels, Martha and Mary, from shepherds, from the wise men, from Simeon and Anna, from John the Baptist, and now from God the Father himself. In their own way, in their own words, they each told us who Jesus is, who sent him, why he came, or what he came to do, and why. Today's gospel lesson from Mark continues the Epiphany birth announcement theme, but with a particular urgency to his message. According to the Revised Standard Version of the Bible that Ruth read for us this morning, Mark uses the word immediately 9 times in just the first chapter alone. In verse 10, immediately the heavens opened. In verse 12, immediately the Spirit drove Jesus to the wilderness for 40 days. In verse 18, immediately Simon and Andrew left their nets and followed Jesus. In verse 20, immediately James and John left their father in the boat and followed Jesus. Today's gospel lesson begins in chapter 1, verse 21. And according to the RSV version of Mark, Mark records, "And they," meaning Jesus and his disciples, "went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught." Have you been counting? That's 5 times the word "immediately" has been used in just the first 21 verses. And continuing on, Mark records that those in the synagogue were astonished at the teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority. Authority is such an interesting word that's used. It's a powerful meaning in this context. This authority with which he taught with in the synagogue was the start of Jesus himself revealing to the world, to us, who he was. Jesus is beginning to demonstrate that he is who they said he would be. By his teaching, Jesus revealed that he had the authority to say and do what had been revealed beforehand about him. He spoke with authority because all authority on heaven and on earth had been given to him by the Father. Just then, or as Mark records, immediately, there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." Now we even have one more person with an unclean spirit announcing to everyone in the synagogue, and to us as well, who Jesus is. While I'm not a Greek or Hebrew scholar or a theologian, I want to take the next few moments to reflect from my professional experience about the man with an unclean spirit. Some of you may have heard it me say or read it in the church newsletter that I had been an education and youth director in a Lutheran church in Tulsa, Oklahoma for almost 14 years. This is where I met Karen. She was my four-year-old Sunday school teacher. God bless her. Those kids scare me. It was also where I went back to university to get my master's degree and then a license as a clinical counselor, and how I spent the rest of my career. I went back to school partly because I was getting older. It was harder and harder for me to keep up with those middle school and high school kids. Most youth directors only last 18 months in that job. And I couldn't imagine keeping up this pace for the rest of my life. Noisy bus rides, church lock-ins, sleeping on the basement floors, the endless energy and enthusiasm needed to engage with this population. And quite honestly, I didn't want to be poor the rest of my life. I loved working with these kids and their families. They were so fun. They were so excited about their faith. They were so gifted. But at the same time, it became apparent to me that the kids and the families I was working with were more wounded, were more distressed than my training as a recreation major had prepared me for. I knew kids and families in the church who were struggling with alcohol and other drug problems. There was child abuse and spousal abuse, divorce, food insecurities and poverty, sexual abuse, unplanned pregnancies, depression, anxiety, attentional disorders, and other physical and mental illnesses. Not something that you would notice standing up here looking out, but living and working and moving alongside people, I began to see and understand that it wasn't just through the stained glass windows that we could see that this was the human condition. Many of these people I walked alongside while they were discovering their faith and their gifts also had spirits that were so wounded and burdened that they had a hard time feeling loved and forgiven by God. My unwritten book to this point is titled Gifted and Wounded. If I were to ever write this book, it would tell the stories of the struggling faithful who knew that they had been washed in their baptism and who had a deep felt love for Jesus, but still felt unclean and uncomfortable in the church. I didn't recognize it at the time, but now I truly believe that I was working with adolescents and families with unclean spirits. At least this is the best way I've been able to understand and explain that experience. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have been able to go back to school and increase in understanding and skills and experience to better work with people who were physically, socially, mentally, spiritually wounded or unclean. By being able to come alongside individuals and families in my role as a counselor, I was able to see God perform some amazing miracles, some transforming of lives. I recognize this kind of work is not something I was able to do on my own. There is a spiritual level of warfare between good and evil, between holy and unholy, that quite honestly I don't understand, but that I believe only the authority of Jesus can call out. Looking back at our gospel scripture for this morning, Jesus may not have been ready for the unclean spirit to be announcing in the temple who he was, but with his sixth use of the word immediately, Mark uses the cries of the man with the unclean spirit to reveal to his readers who Jesus is and what he came to do. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebukes him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit convulsed him, and crying with a loud voice came out of him. We've heard of Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding of Canaan, as recorded in the Gospel of John as Jesus' first miracle. Yet both Matthew and Mark record the healing of this man with an unclean spirit as Jesus' first miracle. Which miracle actually came first doesn't really matter. But rather, the gospel writers were remembering this as turning points in revealing who Jesus is and with what authority he came to do his ministry. Mark's urgency was to reveal Jesus as one with authority, to teach, to command even unclean spirits, and to heal as only the Holy One of God, the Messiah, could do. There is a difference between a person in a position of authority and a person who leads with authority. A person in position of authority we must follow, but a person with authority we can't help but want to follow. That's what's happening here in the first two chapters of Mark. Jesus is calling together his disciples with authority, and they are immediately dropping in what they are doing to follow him. Even the bystanders in the synagogue were all amazed, saying, what is this? With authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. As I said at the beginning of the service, this season of Epiphany comes with both a promise and a warning. Jesus has come into our world and is being revealed to us, and the light of these revelations will change us. So here's where I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you all here in this moment. For what purpose under heaven and on earth have you been called? I believe God has blessed us all with skills and talents and experience. We are all gifted, but we also know what it's like to have been wounded. There are times when we or someone that we know may have been the one in the temple feeling unclean and crying out for help. There are situations that we can neither understand with our head or our heart, times when our own gifts seem insufficient for the brokenness we're experiencing. In times like these, I believe there is a knowing that comes from faith in the one who speaks with authority. When a great light shines in our darkness and we have a moment of clarity, that epiphany, if you will, what we are supposed to do and be. A moment of immediacy when we are called to turn. Remember that the word repentance means to turn not away from, but towards something, and follow. Not because it necessarily makes sense, but because the kingdom of heaven has come near to us, and that encounter of the love of God through his Son, Jesus the Christ, has changed us forever. So where is that epiphany light dawning in your life? Jesus is calling us. Tule nit. Come. Come now. What is Jesus calling you to become? Are you ready to become fishers of people? Don't think about it too long. When the next opportunity comes for you to be someone's light in the darkness, it won't always be convenient. It won't always make sense to follow the example of Jesus. But the opportunity to proclaim the good news of the kingdom promises to be miraculous. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.